kind of hang on to him. And
yep.
Boy, he just ran for daylight. Yeah.
Yep.
So we're going to see the mercy rule come in pretty quick here, I think.
Hey, they just announced Blackshirt Soccer had a big win tonight, 6-2. I didn't get the opponent there, but sorry about that, Johnny. But
that's okay.
That was a great run. So they line up the fullback in kind of a flank position behind the right tackle, in between the right tackle and tight end, and he got the snap. And so it's a beautifully designed call off of a shotgun. So the quarterback's handing it off for in front of him. And another big hole created by that muck O-line. And South band leader Mike DeBruin's already in the box with us here, getting ready to tell us at halftime. 1:46 remaining here. Ball on the one-yard line. Right hash, twins right, single receiver left. It's Chitwood again over the middle.
I don't think he made it.
I don't think he made it either. He was stuffed at the line by a couple black shirts there. Justin Giese was one of them. So that's good to see.
That was a good stop for the black shirts, you bet.
He's at the one-inch line, though, so Tyler Williams was in on that along with Giese. So they're calling it no gain. So now it's a pistol formation. Single receiver is right. And this time it's Lynch, and Lynch finds a hole
on
the right side and walks in. Laux trying to get the tackle there. Good effort. So 1:15 remaining in the first half. It's Muck 34, Blackshirt 0. And again, Ryan McCormick coming out to kick in the extra point. So, hey, Mike, can I see your script? So Mike has even prepared a script of questions for us. We should have Johnny.
What a pro.
I think we might have Johnny lead this discussion. Second page. Okay. Sounds great. Oh, this is where it starts. Okay. So the McCormick kick is good, and with 1:15 remaining in the first half, it's 35-0. And, hey, we'll take a quick break here, a 30-second break, on the Blackshirt Football Radio Network. Anya, take it away.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Probably welcome back. This is Don and Johnny.
Hey, thanks, Anya. Welcome back to Ken Hulb Stadium. And it's been a beating, we'll say that. And not a surprise knowing how formidable this Maguanago team is. They were everyone's favorite to win state last year and went pretty far in their competition, another championship season. McCormick getting ready to kick. DeWalt and Williams back for the Blackshirts. It's going to Williams. He's going to catch it at the 3-yard line. He's going to run it. Going up the middle, cutting to the left. Breaks one tackle, fights through a couple, and finally brought down about the 20, just short of the 20-yard line, about the 18. And you know, Johnny, same thing. That ball is going to be kicked to the 3. Let it go into the end zone. It's not worth getting a skilled player like Tyler Williams hurt.
That's what I'm thinking.
And it's just... Even when they've gotten past the 20, the net hasn't really been justified. Instead, you know, the ball's there at the 19. So I just think we got to be smart about this.
So with the score that it is, Don, I think they've instilled the slaughter rule here, as we call it.
That could be, yep, clock running, 35 and counting. Pistol formation, twin packages both sides. Ball at the 19-yard line. And Carranza gets the snap. High snap. Oh, running back went to a different direction. Broken play. He's got Stout, though. Stout catches it. And a good little gain there for Stout all the way to the 33. So I think they need to call more broken plays like that.
That one looked
if
like
we're
going
to fool this
like
Muck team, we got to get the tailback going to the wrong assignment.
Right.
So 7 seconds and counting. Let's see if they can get the call. They do. They faked up trouble. Throws with his left hand like Doug Flutie. Incomplete. And that'll do it. So at least a little entertainment value and some progress on offense. And good news is when the Black Shirts come out to start the second half, they will have the ball. So hopefully they can take some of this momentum and move with it. So, but we'll take a quick break here. 30 seconds on you. When we come back, we've got South Band Director Mike DeBruin. We'll do 30 seconds, and then the next one will be a minute on you. This is the lecture.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503.
Or
log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Thanks, man.
Welcome back to coverage. Wow. This is Don and Johnny.
Hey, thanks, Anya. Don Brown here, Johnny Watermelon. Johnny, take the mic at least, you know, be a celebrity. All right,
I get the mic.
So right black on. Shirts trail, Buck, 35-0 at halftime. As you can hear the youth football team coming out to the running across the field. Being cheered on by fans, parents, grandparents, relatives, so that's always fun. Fifth grade, sixth grade, but here in the box, I'm honored to have, are you the band leader or one of the band leaders?
I'm the band director, yeah.
The band director, Mike DeBruin of Waukesha South, here to tell us about March Fest. And should I just start from the beginning?
Sure, yeah. Thanks for having me, Don. Appreciate it.
Yeah, same here. So March Fest is as much a show as it is a competition is what you're saying, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Can you give me some examples of some shows?
Yeah, so last year the Waukesha South Band was still healing from the parade tragedy, and the marching show name was called We Will Not Be Silenced as a testament to the resilience of the healing power of music. This year, we're ready to have some fun. Our show is entitled Celebrate Good Times to honor music's role in the soundtrack of our lives.
What's it been like for you as South's director?
Last year, I started the position just a few weeks before the start of the school year, so it was a bit of jump right in and try my best to get things going. But now that I've been the black shirt for a full year, I'm excited to be able to work with the band from the very beginning stages of the show. And we started band camp this summer. We had drumline camp back in June. We've been able to add a couple shows to our schedule this year too, so we're going to be participating at Waukesha North and Carroll University's Band Fest, which is on September 17th, and then we'll also be doing
Waukesha. And Carroll are combining on that.
They're combining.
Is that at North or at Carroll?
It's at Carroll.
Nice.
That's the first year they're doing it there, so that's
sounds
pretty cool.
Great.
So shout out to Tom's Battersby over at North doing that.
Great guy, Tom. He was a guest on my show. Yeah.
And then the day after March Fest, we're doing a Waukesha West Invitational too. So shout out to Dave Farmer as well. But March Fest for us is on Saturday, September 23rd. We have 16 bands coming from all over the state, marching bands and color guards. So it's really neat to see the enormous amount of talent that surrounds the marching band competition. It will start the ceremony at 4 p.m. And what we're really looking for is volunteers. So if there are any students or people out there that are interested in volunteering and having some fun while you're at it, March Fest would be the time to come. So,
and if you're volunteering, you get to see all the competition for free.
Absolutely. So if you want to volunteer or come check it out, that'd be great. If you want any more information, feel free to go to goblackshirts.com/marchfest.
goblackshirts.com/marchfest.
Exactly.
That's terrific. And this is a 33-year tradition. I believe it's Wisconsin's oldest marching band competition.
It's I'm not sure if it's the oldest, but we are definitely the second largest in the state, and it's our 33rd year. So it's very cool to be able to carry that on and still be doing this. So
that sounds great. Now, did you grow up here in Waukesha?
I did not. I actually grew up in Kaukauna, Wisconsin. So
Kaukauna.
Yeah, the Galloping Ghosts was
my home of stomping ground.
That's Johnny's neck of the woods, but it's also right the home down. Of is that Will Campbell? The John Anderson Award winner for Carroll University.
Yeah, you got it, yeah.
The star defensive
Haynes
player.
Meets, too.
That we'll be seeing tomorrow night.
Nice.
So I just need to confirm this. Don't go away, Mike, here. Yeah, Will Campbell, the 6-foot, 230-pound sophomore. We'll be cheering him on tomorrow night. So
neat. Cool.
That's terrific. So, well, gosh, you know, you said you're going to call into the show tomorrow, so we appreciate that.
Tomorrow
morning. My viewing audience, and I'm sure Mayor Riley and Water Utilities Czar Dan Dukniak will want to know. And what other questions, what is it you want Blackshirt Nation and all our listeners to know about the South Marching Band as they're about to take the field.
Yeah, they're about to take the field. They're just they're a very special group. They're very special to me. It's been amazing watching them, kind of seeing them like last year come back from everything, and this year continuing that on. They're very dedicated. They're very committed. And they're very talented. And it's one of those honors for me because I really believe they could do it with any band director. So I'm very lucky to be in that front row seat and see that every day.
That sounds great. Well, Mike DeBruin, we'll let you get back to your band.
All right, thank you so
much. Congrats on all the success you've had, and best of luck with March Fest. And I look forward to you calling my show tomorrow morning.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep, that was great meeting you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
You too.
Can we keep your script, too?
Oh, you can get that.
Awesome. Thank you. So we're going to go to a one-minute break here as the fans enjoy the South Marching Band. And when we come back, we'll talk about first half takeaways and what we can, what we'd like to see in the second half from our beloved Blackshirts. So, Anya, take it away here on the Blackshirt Football Radio Network at halftime.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to your Waukesha South Blackshirts. This is Donnie and John. Sorry, John and Donnie.
Donnie. That's okay.
No, that's perfect. We'll
Donnie
go with that.
Johnny.
Sure, let's try that.
Thanks, thank you, Anya. Yes, welcome back to Ken Hall Stadium, home of the Blackshirts. And it hasn't really felt too much like home on the field as the Blackshirts are trailing 35-0 to a very good Maguanago team looking for its fourth win of the season and remaining undefeated. And we are enjoying a great performance by the band. They're playing Queens Don't Stop Me Now. And good lineup. And as they get ready for March Fest coming up in a couple weeks. And, you know, Johnny, like I said, it was... There was certainly some great play by the Muck offense and defense. A lot of that self-destruction from our O. Could have seen some better tackling from the D on some of those plays. But, you know, when you're a running back and you got a big hole and you're going 5, 6, 7, 8 yards of the field before a Blackshirt can even put his hands on you, sometimes you're hard to bring down. You know what I mean? You're like a Mack truck.
Don, it's like we always say, man, you got to stop the run and you got
to
run the ball.
And
it's just not happening on the Blackshirts. Yeah.
I am happy to see them running the ball more, especially with Isaiah Dunlop back in the lineup.
That's nice to see him back.
There were a few positive. The way the runs were designed, there were mostly some positive yards, even if it's just the 1 or 2 yard variety. But perhaps one of the biggest plays of the half was a blown assignment where the tailback went to the right instead of the left, went to the wrong side, and Carranza was left to his own devices and under pressure, and he hit an open Evan Stout right away. It was already a 5 yard gain when he caught the ball, and Stout fought his way up probably another 10 yards for a first down. And you know, I think it's especially the spread offense, I think you kind of have to run it like pick up basketball and just find the open guys as soon as you see them 3 or 4 yards upfield. Get the positive yardage, force that Muck secondary to come in closer, and then you can do the pump fake like they tried on Stout on that one play that would have been a touchdown, I think, if the pass hadn't been out of bounds and high. But I think what else do you have to lose trailing 35-0?
You don't have anything to lose.
They have the ball coming out in the second half, so, you know, have some fun.
Right. These plays got to develop a little bit quicker, faster.
Yeah.
You know, do a little trigonometry. You know,
and you know, I even
here.
Say you call it a design blown play. You know, you sell that it's a messed up play, and because that even surprises the defense a little bit.
One of the best plays was a broken play.
Yeah,
you know, so
and the more you think about it, as we see the youth football players coming back, a lot of big smiles here, and big applause for the Black Shirt Marching Band. Another great job, and great job for new band director, Mike DeBruin, excuse me, who I believe is in his second year, I think is what he told us, Johnny. And, you know, great marching band tradition here in Waukesha. West has a good band, and North has one of the great traditions in all of high school marching bands. Several state championships, a lot of tournament wins, national appearances, national parades. And, yeah, we'll have to have Thomas Battersby back on for a show. Maybe get him and Mike DeBruin together and maybe the West band director. So it's a great tradition. You know, I was talking to one of our my daughter's softball dads on the softball team, and his son's in the band at Germantown, and he just loves it. You know, they for these guys, for our band and our cheerleaders, it's competition, you know. Competition with yourself and just doing it right. So. Junior black shirt cheerleaders are performing a routine with the varsity cheerleaders. So, in spite of the black shirts, so we say, lack of success, it's still a special occasion here at Ken Hollop Stadium. Black shirt parents, alumni, students come out to support all of our athletes and entertainers, student entertainers here in the field. So. It is another great night in spite of the deficit. And, again, next season we're going to see some closer halftime scores in the Parkland Conference, and that we feel good, especially about the way that the program's developed. I was talking to Justin Ben Dixon, the seventh-grade coach. He's been involved with Blackshirt youth football for quite a few years now. I believe his son Preston's Preston's a quarterback on that team, but – there's 34 kids on the seventh grade team, and there's about the same amount on the eighth grade. Fifth and sixth grade have, so the numbers are getting up there now for our youth program, which is very exciting, especially for these kids knowing that they're going to be on a level playing field. It's a much better product for Coach Wilson Company to sell. So, and I know it's tough for our seniors. There was a lot of shall we say, discussions and concerns that maybe the seniors weren't getting enough attention with all the focus on the youth program. But, you know, they're working hard, coaches and players alike, and kids are putting up a good effort. And, you know, 34, 35 player, you know, I had a high school coach who only kept 35 players. And so that's not too, you know, out of the ordinary. It's just in a conference like the Classic 8 where you've got, you know, what do they have, 98 kids on the other side of the field from Iguanago, and a deep bench of great players. You look at all the kids they lost at graduation. It was like seven on both sides.
Seven on both sides.
Yeah, that's hard to do. And they really haven't missed a beat.
No, they just plugged in new guys.
And, yeah, I mean, there were some returners. But
they had a lot of sophomores that came back, you know.
You know, in a lot of those instances, you're having JV1 and varsity practicing together, mm-hmm. And so
mm-hmm.
they're getting their licks in and coaching. And, you know, we had usually when we're here with other coaching staffs, you might have two or three coaches. We had probably, half a dozen back here from Muck. And so they invest a lot of resources in the program. There's probably a dedicated quarterback coach, which a lot of high schools don't have outside the Classic 8. So, but... yeah, Blackshirt showed us a few things. There were some, I mean, there was a big interception there by Chris Flowers. That was incredible. That should have been a reception.
Yeah. There's a couple of bright spots.
Yeah.
But they're just so outgunned, you know. The offensive line is just manhandling this Blackshirt unit.
And in Carranza's defense, this is his first year playing in many years, getting a lot of looks. You know, when you had a talent like Tak Tadioka.
Yeah, he didn't get many snaps.
I remember
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Attention high school sports fans. Are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it.
These are your hosts.
Hey, Anya, thank you. Don Brown here with Johnny Watermelon at Ken Hollop Stadium, where the Black Shirts trail. Maguanago 35-0. And scoreboard shows about less than 3.5 minutes before the start of the second half. And the Black Shirts will have the ball to start the second half. And we apologize, we had some technical difficulties there. So, and we're waiting for Johnny to get back on. So, Johnny's checking his text messages, I think, back with our studio. So, yeah, we had a little bit of a hiccup here. But fortunately, it happened during halftime. So, we didn't miss much. So, but we were... Johnny and I were discussing what some of the keys were for the Black Shirts to be competitive in this game, to execute, and again, coming out with the ball on offense. And, you know, one of the highlights was a broken play that turned out to be a 15-yard gain. And like, one of the keys was just Carranza found a receiver open right away, 3 or 4 yards out, and just like, make those quick passes. And, you know, like the same baseball, small ball, and... If you force those Maguanago secondary to come in closer, then maybe you can do some pump fakes and you can look a little deeper. But I think for now you got to give what the defense gives you. Minimize the opportunities for penalties. And try to set Hector Carranza up for some more success. First-year quarterback in his senior year. So as we see Maguanago return to the field, we're still waiting for Black Shirts are now coming out of the locker room now. So, and it is cooler tonight, Johnny. I wish I had my my sweatshirt. I know you got yours. We're both in shorts here. But an otherwise certainly a beautiful night, a perfect night for football.
Yeah, it's a great night for football.
No breeze.
Otherwise,
you know, and it's the second home game in a row where the sun peeked its head out right as the game was about to start. And so, you know, again, in this final season of the Classic Eight, you know, not much of a surprise trailing a team like Maguanago 35-0 at the half. And as we start the half with the ball, you know, again, I think we start with some small ball, some executable plays, give what the defense gives you, and just really quick plays. And I think you don't have anything to lose by giving Ben Jimenez some touches in there and mix up him and himself and Carranza. Try to throw some different things at this defense while, again, keeping it simple and getting the easy gains and moving the sticks and just hanging on to the ball. And maybe if we can keep the Muck offense off the field for a little longer than, 45 seconds, give our defense a chance.
Think that'll help, huh?
Yeah. And again, I think it's there was something about that broken play in that, again, at that spread offense, it's supposed to be kind of like basketball where there's a lot of improvisation. You're spreading a defense out. You're trying to empower fast receivers by getting them in space and even maybe finding some new holes for running backs. And so I think it's kind of like, that playground pickup basketball where
– sure.
You got to do a little bit of an improv, but you just got to move. You got to decide quickly.
Well, you're mentioning about the broken plays. Opportunities are created when there's misdirection.
Yeah.
Somebody blows an assignment, and there it is.
And that's what it is. A well-trained defense is anticipating a play, and there it looked like it was a run to Dunlap. He doesn't get it. The quarterback's confused. The defense is like, no, they're all standing still.
Yeah.
Hector rolls out wisely, and it hits Stout right away before he gets buried in the backfield, and right away you have a 5-yard gain, but then Stout makes it a 15-yard gain and they move the chains. And so I think that's, against a team like this, it's very disciplined that anticipates well. I say you have some fun.
Well, maybe Coach Wiltz will spice it up a little bit here when we come back.
We sure will. Yeah. So, and if you love football, Don and Johnny are back tomorrow night giving you some historic broadcast, our first time doing college football on WAUK Radio with the state's oldest university and one of the nation's oldest football programs, Carroll University Pioneers. A really exciting time in the Coach Mike Budiszewski era. Their first back-to-back winning season since the 90s.
Coming out of the gate with the first broadcast. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and
540 AM, 101 FM.
15 returning starters. Total on both sides of the ball, and just a lot of excitement as they take on neighborly rivals, non-conference rivals, Wisconsin Lutheran. And Warriors, they came off of a 24-0 defeat last week at home against Lake Forest, and so they're hungry for not only their first win but their first touchdown, the first points. And yeah, we'll talk about that more tomorrow night, but there may be some, that's a young team and they're pretty fired up, and so don't let that and the fact that they lost to the Pioneers 54-7 in the inaugural Quick Trip Glazer Bowl don't overestimate anything. That's what do they say? It's why they play the games. And
right.
I'm really excited to be over there with you just up the road. Actually, we'll be closer to the studio. I always get confused.
Yeah.
Carroll's actually closer to
It's just within walking distance from the studio.
It sure is. So we're seeing Ben Jimenez get some warm-ups there, so maybe he'll get the nod at QB this half.
So one of the things that I'm concerned about here, Don, is the one thing that I would like to finish us off with is having a safe final half here. These black shirts.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are playing both sides of the ball. Just want to make sure everybody goes home in a good place. You know what I mean, dude?
It's funny. There was a lot of concern that they weren't even going to be able to field the team this season. And we're already into the fourth game. One injured player has returned. We have Charles Rowalinski's out tonight. Vinny Capoletti-Mahalos, the tailback and defense D-back, linebacker. Great all-around player. He's out maybe at least for another week or see. We'll see what goes on with his knee. And so they're staying healthy, but I agree with you, Johnny, and especially on those kickoffs. If that Ryan McCormick's going to put anywhere near the end zone, they got to let it roll in and take the touchback.
Yep.
It's not,
it's not worth somebody getting a bad injury.
And that's where a lot of the big injuries happen, are on the kickoffs and the special teams.
Yeah, because guys are flying.
Yep. So
it's exciting, but guys are flying.
Yep. So we're almost ready to start. Yeah, the kickoff team for McGuanago's come out in the field, and the black shirt team is lined up around the special teams coach there. I believe that's Rafi. So we're almost ready to start, fans, and black shirts looking good, feeling good. The home team black shirts in all red, black helmets. the visiting First Nationals of Muguanago. Gold pants, white jerseys, blue font, gold trim, white helmets with the signature Muguanago M logotype on the right side, and an Indian head, a Native American head on the left side. So McCormick ready to kick off to the west end zone of the Black Shirts, and that one's going to go out of bounds. There will be a flag, so Black Shirts will get good field position there. Tyler Williams is going after that. So I believe they get spotted at the 35, if I remember correctly. I know that, I think for a long time that was the college rule. Proza might have even been the 40. So let's see who comes out for the Black Shirts on offense. Looks like the usual suspects in the receiving core. Lascano, Diaz, Stout. And Ben Jimenez, the Polish rifle, gets the nod. Hey, and a big shout out to his dad, Mario, celebrating his birthday. Said something like his 40th birthday tomorrow night. Twin packages, both sides. Empty backfield. No, another.
No confusion on the Black Shirts.
There is not an empty backfield. Isaiah Dunlop comes into the game here.
Better get this playoff.
Yep. Hurry it up. Better hurry it up.
They're just not going to make it.
Yep, here we go. Let's see. And there's the snap. And it's going to be a handoff to Dunlop on the left. And he gets around the corner and gets some decent yardage there. Close to a four-yard gain. Some good blocking, seal blocking there. It's not often that you don't see Muck not having the outside contained there. So good blocking upfield by the receivers. Evan Stout was on that side. So ball on the left hash. Twins left with Stout and DeWalt. Twins right with Lascano and Diaz. Pistol formation with Dunlop behind Jimenez. And Dunlop gets the hand up. Pushes away up the middle and gets another good 3 yards there. So,
number 24, Dunlop, the ball carrier.
I'm guessing there's some new numbers in there for Muck. Looks like a smaller D line, Johnny. So
it sure does. Yeah, they got
very grateful to the decision making. Make this a little bit more competitive for our fellas. 11:04 and counting. Black Shirts looking to get something going here, trailing 35-0. Slaughter rule is in effect, so the clock goes nonstop here. 10:56 and counting. Twin packages both sides, ball on the left hash. Dunlop on Jimenez's right. Jimenez now the quarterback. Fakes to Dunlop. He's looking downfield. Has him in the flat. As Diaz, he drops the ball, gets hit. And dangerous pass there, Johnny.
It was.
Again, we've talked about that. Those plays, those screens, and those, they got to happen sooner.
You know, and I think he heard some footsteps coming there. That ball was very catchable.
They are going to go for it. Jimenez comes to talk to Coach Wiltz. 10:23 and counting, so. You know, Jimenez can run the ball too. So it'll be interesting to see what they do here. And again, a short yardage play like that, a dangerous pass. I would like to have seen Jimenez maybe take that himself on third and short. Yeah. Twin packages both sides. Jimenez in the shotgun with Dunlop on his right. Three down linemen for Muck. Oh, they should have snapped it. They almost had an offsides there. They should have snapped the ball. They could have had him.
Could have been an easy first down.
Yep.
It's like they're doing
it. Timeout. Black Shirts.
Timeout.
So I think they wanted to see what the Muck defense was doing here. 9:47 remaining in the third quarter. So, you know, good coaching moment there. You see a guy in the line jumping. Snap that ball and get the easy five.
Right.
Good job by that DN getting back in time.
He did. He was over in the jump back.
Yep. And, you know, if you remember last year, there were a few plays when Tack was taking the ball under center. I don't know if these quarterbacks have had much practice at that. But it's something that should be, you know, part of the game. Like,
right.
You know. You know, the neat thing about the Classic 8 is, yes, they've got the talent. But you look at the play schemes. Muguanago's, Muskego's, a lot of them are basic. Some would even say old school, but they execute.
Yeah. They tell you what's coming, and then they do it.
They thread the needle, yeah. So, fourth and short one here. Ball at the 44 of the Black Shirts. DeWalco's in motion. Jimenez is going to take it himself. He's not going to go anywhere near the marker. Muck was all over that. So they will take over on downs. And I think if you're going to do that, you got to get the ball under center. Give yourself an advantage. That just
It's too many opportunities for that defense to fill them holes.
Yep.
It should have went under center just like
again,
you said.
And
took off.
And Muck's already out, ready to snap the ball here. 9-14 and counting. I believe there's a new quarterback in here. Let's get the number. High snap. He gets it off to his tailback.
Close to a first down.
A little run there. That, I believe, is number 32. Cole Oldenburg in the game from Iguanago. And he gets close to a 10-yard gain. They're not moving the chains yet, but pretty close. Quarterback, trying to get a number here. So second and inches. Oh, fumble snap. Picked up. Looks like the Black Shirts might have it. I think Muck hangs on.
Boy, they're both pointing. Everybody's claiming they got it. See what the Zebras do.
Jaden Cool is the quarterback for the Mucks.
And so Muck's recovered.
He's a junior. Yep. Muck on to go covered. So instead of third and short, it's now third and about... third and four, actually, they're calling it. 8:02 and counting in the third quarter. Pistol formation, single receivers both sides. Chitwood on the left flank there. It's right up the middle again to Oldenburg, and he fights his way for another Muck first down. And credit to Muck Nation, that student section, that bleachers is still full. Injured player in the field for the Blackshirts.
Ay, ay, ay.
As number 76 for the Blackshirts comes in. That's Jaden Donald, another Banting Park product. Injured player for the Blackshirts. I'm guessing that's 68, Johnny. Does that look like 68 to you?
It does, yes, sir.
And that would be Landon Ludke, the sophomore. 5'11", 221 pounds. Caitlin Weber and crew out there to look. He's sitting up, which is encouraging, and he's being helped up. And on his own volition, too, so just a little shaken up there.
Favoring that left leg.
Yep. So, and he gets a good applause from the fans. 7:36 your time remaining. Maguanago leading the Blackshirts, 35-0. Another fresh set of downs at the Blackshirt 31 for Muck. And so Blackshirt defense returns to the field after conversing with the coaching staff during the injury timeout.
Little confusion on the black shirts. They're coming or going.
It's a snap. And it's Oldenburg again, another big run. Great blocking, and he's looking at like 7 yards there. Ball at the 24.
32, Oldenburg, the ball carrier.
Oldenburg comes out. Another... tailback comes in. So again, a short yardage. Second and two, 7:10 remaining. Single receivers both sides. Pistol formation. And a timeout by the Blackshirts. As number 70, Oliver Shimoleski tried getting into the lineup.
We're short of defensive lineman. He came
in. Short of lineman, yeah.
So just a little confusion on the Blackshirts. Don't know if they're.
Yeah. Well, I think they're trying new players.
Yeah. Well, that's a coaching thing. They should be telling those guys when to get in and who's in.
Absolutely.
That sort of thing.
So, 7:01 remaining, third quarter. Blackshirts trailing Maguanago, 35-0.
Really cooled off here tonight, Don.
It sure has. And, hey, and don't forget, this Tuesday is the last Tribute Tuesday of the season at Cutler Park. And it's a Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute band. They better play Tuesday's Gone. And that would be fitting since it's the last Tribute Tuesday. And
absolutely.
By far, in my opinion, the greatest Lynyrd Skynyrd song. So we're back. Pistol formation for Maguanago. Single receivers both sides. And it's up the middle again. Blackshirts there to meet him. And that's like Isaiah Dunlop with some extra help. Great tackle. That was on Colton Lynch, who scored the last touchdown. Adriel Diaz was also in on that. Two of the stars from that eighth grade championship team. So that makes it third and three.
Dunlap greeted him with a little authority.
He sure did. And that's what I've been saying. You know, like Dunlap's actually better at linebacker than he is at tailback. And that play showed it. So single receivers both sides. Pistol formation again. Chitwood hiding on the right. It's going to the right this half one hole. That's Oldenburger. And big hole. He's gone. Breaking some bad tackling. And he's all the way in for a touchdown.
Wow. Breaking tackles left and right. He would not be denied.
He sure was. Heck of a run there by the reserve running back. He's making a case for getting more calls when the game counts. That's for sure.
The blocking was decent, nothing exceptional. That guy just powered right in.
Cole Oldenburg, the 5'8", 160-pound junior. I'd like to know what his 40 time is. He's got some great wheels. And he runs tough. And a timeout's being called for an extra point. I wonder what that's all about.
Timeout taken by McGuanigan.
It's 41-0. I don't know what. Maybe give another kicker a shot here or another PAT team even. I don't know what this is about.
Score update for you. The Milwaukee Brewers have taken the lead 5-2 over New
York. They just announced that the Brewers have taken over the lead from the Yankees 5-2. Been an exciting year for the Brewers, huh, Johnny?
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. You know, they're a little.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that they've got their work cut out for them.
I think we have a different kicker in here from Muck. Or maybe they're going for two here. Let's see. Nope, there's a different kicker. Number 28, Noah Huebner, the 5'10 sophomore, will get the honors. Snap is good. Kick is good. A little bit of a line drive, but high enough and through the center. So it's 6:09 in the third quarter. It's McGonigal 42 and your black shirt 0. We're going to take a quick break here on the Black Shirt Football Radio Network. Anya, take it away.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Just a great...
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Waukesha South Black Shirts Football.
Thank you, Anya. 6:09 remaining in the third quarter. Black Shirts trailing McGonagall 42-0 as the First Nationals add another touchdown. Their sixth of the night. And a new kicker in. Noah Huebner will kick it off. And he kicks it right to.
Got fumbled a little bit there.
Might be Tyler Williams. Going to his left there. Breaks a tackle and fights his way to the 36. A good little run there by Tyler Williams. Broke a tough first tackle, then fought his way through three or four mucks to get to just past the 30-yard line. So 5:52 and counting with the slaughter rule. Blackshirts trailing McGonagall, 42-0. I'd really love to get on the board here. Ball spotted at the 32.
Could use an honor touchdown,
right? Jimenez is still the quarterback. Yep. We got... Trips left, ball in the right hash. Trips left, single receiver right. That single receiver is Tyler Williams. Dunlap on Jimenez's left. 5:22 and counting. A 45-0 deficit for the Blackshirts. 42-0, excuse me. Runner goes in motion. That's DeWalt. He fakes it out. Oh, he's got Dunlap on the left. Gets past one block, and he fights his way. Good, tough running there. About a 4-yard gain. Again, well defended by Muck, but some great great physical contact there by Dunlop to fight for the lead block. Actually kind of got rejected there by the muck defender, and Dunlop fought through that. So
I thought that was going to develop six. Into a bigger gainer there.
It could have, but
that block got,
I like they faked to the right.
Right,
yeah. DeWalt was going in motion from the left to the right. They faked to DeWalt, then they went to the left. So trips right, single receiver left. That's Stout. Pistol formation. He hands it off up the middle. Oh, and he stumbles. Would have had some positive yardage there, but I think he got hurt on that play. That's Dunlop. Dunlop a little shaken up there.
He's getting up real slow.
But he's back up, so. I think he's maybe just more mad at himself that he lost his footing, because that could have been a good 2-3-4 yard variety there, but it remains 3rd and 6 here with 4:11 and counting in the third quarter. And that was unfortunate, John. That could have been a nice little gainer there. So same thing, pistol formation, trips right, ball in the middle of the field, Stout all alone on the left. Or no, other receiver alone on the left. Stout's in the middle here on the right. And Jimenez looks downfield, he's got a guy. Oh, had a hand on it, but dropped it going out of bounds. Adriel Diaz, so well covered there by the Mucks secondary. There was really nobody open there, so it's fourth down. Punt units coming in on 4th and 6. 3:34 and counting in the third quarter. And back to return, Alex, like number 26, Devin Viola, the sophomore. He's back at the 30 of Muck. Giovanni Perea comes in. Nope, yep.
Devin's that third stringer there. So they get a lot of depth on
Perea,
that Muck side.
Perea and Adam Durajan.
Here comes the snap.
2:58 and counting. The snap, another low snap, fielded by Aiden Urban. A high punt, but not very far. That's going to die around. Oh, it does take a friendly Blackshirt bounce, but then dies at about the Muck 42. Touchdown by, is that Ben Jimenez there? Yep. I think Jimenez wants to keep the ball. It must be his quarterback ball.
The long snapper for the Blackshirts is really having some challenges the last couple of weeks.
Sure is.
A lot of them end up on the ground.
Credit to Aiden Urban for fielding them cleanly and getting them off. So Giovanni Perea in on defense now. He doesn't even know where he's playing. They have him at free safety, kind of a rover back. Oh, low snap. But they get it to Colton Lynch, and he breaks a couple tackles before getting a first down up the middle. So a muff snap.
Number 27, Colton Lynch.
Great job by the backup quarterback, Jaden Cool, recovering the ball and getting it to Colton Lynch for a first down.
Jaden Coolman, a nice recovery. Now there's a flag on the play here.
There is, after the play. Let's see what this is about.
Zebra didn't like something.
I don't know, he's talking to Muck. Let's see what this is. Ball right now is at the 46 of the Blackshirts. 1:32 left in the quarter. Clock has stopped because of this penalty. And yep, they're marking something off against the Blackshirts.
12 men on the field.
12 men on the field, that's what it was. So. So the self-destruction continues. The problems continues for the Blackshirts.
That's a coaching penalty there, dude.
Yep. Twins left, pistol formation. Fullback behind the left tackle there. And it's the Colton Lynch up the middle, but some Blackshirts are meeting. He still pushes forward for about 5 or 6. There are 2 red shirts there to greet him. He just muscled his way past him. Adam Barrage, one of the tacklers. So, Adam Duraj, the junior.
Second and 4 for
Muck here. 35 seconds left in the third quarter. Muck leading 42-0. Single receivers, pistol formation. It's Lynch again up the middle. Great blocking. He gets one.
Oh,
he's
broke away.
Up the touchdown.
Wow.
They had him, and he fought his way through. But I guess the whistle was blown. Let's see. Now the ref called him down by. They may be saying that his forward progress was stopped, but I don't agree.
I think they got robbed there on that one, dude.
They certainly got robbed. And the clock continues to run, which will end the third quarter. And Muck Nation not happy. 3 seconds left. That should end the third quarter. And a fortuitous call for the Blackshirts keeps the score at 42-0 as we end the third quarter.
He didn't look like he was down to me, Don.
Is the end of the third quarter.
I would agree with you, Johnny. I don't know.
He was just fighting, and he wiggled free.
It wasn't even like they held on to him long enough. Yeah. To, you know, like there was really. So, but, hey, we'll take a quick 30-second break here with the Blackshirts trailing 42-0 at the end of the third quarter here on the Blackshirt Football Radio Network. Anya, take it away.
All right.
It's game time. Welcome to Waukesha South Blackshirts Football. Thanks for joining us live on your local Civic Media radio station, 540. If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Welcome back to the fourth quarter. This is Don and Johnny.
Hey, thanks, Anya. Welcome back to Ken Hobbs Stadium as we start the fourth quarter. Blackshirts trailing McGuanago 42-0, and McGuanago in position to possibly add some more points here. They were robbed of a touchdown at the end of the third quarter. Ref said he was the running back, Colton Lynch, was that his forward progress was stopped. Yeah, another low snap, but they get it off to Lynch. Big hole. He will not be denied this time as he barrels into the end zone. So a moot point. And no better way to, I guess, piss a running back off than rob him of a touchdown on a bad call.
Right.
So he gets back. Player shaken up for the Blackshirts on the field here in the end zone. And gets the corner. I can't tell. He's back up on his feet. That's number 22 for the Blackshirts.
You know, the McGuanago Indians have such depth.
Carter Emanuel.
You know, they just have got such big guys.
Yeah.
And their second string.
Yep.
And that offensive line is just dominating.
So Kula will hold for Huebner here. Looking to make it 49-0 with 11:54 remaining in the game. Comes the snap, the hold, and the kick is good.
The extra point is up and good.
So with 11:54 left in the game, it's Muck 49, Blackshirt 0. And Johnny and I get ready for our big broadcast tomorrow night at Schneider Stadium. Big box there. Coach Buda, Coach Mike Budashevsky, will be calling into my show tomorrow this week in Waukesha in the second half of the show. We'll talk a little bit about the big game tomorrow night. And, of course, my guests are Mayor Sean Riley and Water Utility Czar Dan Dukniak, talking about the Great Water Alliance. Waukesha will be the first non-coastal city in the history of the region to receive Lake Michigan water. Major project.
It's a big deal. It's been in the work for a long time.
And the mayor and Dan will have a chance to address some of the questions about water rates going up, potentially. The odors that we'll be experiencing and the colors that will be part of this transition and what people can do to prepare and what this can really mean for our future. So, Huebner's kicking off. It's DeWalt and Williams back to receive for the Blackshirts, and it's a short kick. It bounces the 15, fielded at the 8, and they do a little reverse play. No, he's going to keep it. And that looked like the general, Zayas DeWalt, gets all the way up to the 23.
You know, that fake reverse kind of held him a little bit. He got a little little longer gain because of that.
Decent little play, yeah. Huh. So it's just a tough thing to sell when you're so close to the sideline like DeWalt was. So 11:39 and counting as the Blackshirt offense comes on the field. And I don't know what's going on here. Clock continues to run, 11:16. Yep, Ben Jimenez comes out now. He will be the quarterback for the Black Shirts. Right now we're showing a Twins left as they break out of the rest of the team breaks out of the huddle. Williams is all alone on the right, ball in the middle of the field. Trips left, excuse me. Pistol formation. I believe that's Dunlop, yep. Oh, quick pass to Williams. He breaks up the field. He's all the way to the 40. A nice little play.
That was a nice play.
Jimenez and Dunlop did a great job of selling the handoff up the middle. And then Jimenez fired it to Williams on like a quick down and in there.
Got a first down.
Pistol formation again. Trips left, single seam right. Quick handoff. This time Dunlop does get it and pushes his way with some help from the line. Probably close to a 3-yard gain there. 10:24 is your time remaining. Sets up a 2nd and 7. And Black Shirts, a real quick huddle. Receivers are already set up. Trips left. Stout, Diaz, and DeWalt, respectively. Williams, again, all alone on the right. 10:07 and counting. Pistol formation for Jimenez. Gets a snap. Fakes. Quick pass. Oh, Stout didn't know it was coming to him. So that would have been, if the communication was better there, I don't know whose fault that was.
Yeah.
But it was intended for Stout.
Stout never looked for it. It was like the left hand not knowing.
He was blocking. Yeah, I think he knew it was going to the other receiver. So third and 7, 9:30 and counting there. Actually, Stout's all alone on the left here. It's a trips right. Pistol for Jimenez. Fakes up the middle again. He's under some pressure. He's going to try to run it, but he's not going to go anywhere. Flag is down. It's in the where the linebackers usually are, so this could be against the defense. Let's see.
There is a penalty flag on the field.
Or it could be a hold. Looks like it's against the Black Shirts. Looks like Muck will decline. 8:50 and counting in the game.
Against the Black Shirts.
The penalty will be declined, and that makes it about 4th and 7 for the Black Shirts, or 4th and 6, actually.
That penalty is declined.
So Black Shirts will go for it here, and why not? Trips right. Williams all alone. Excuse me, left. Williams all alone on the right. Ball in the right hash. Pistol formation for Jimenez. He gets the snap. And he goes quickly to Zayas DeWalt. DeWalt breaks a few tackles, pushes his way forward, but about 3-4 yards short of a first down. So they sent the other receivers deep and kept DeWalt home, thinking he could run under coverage. But Muck defense not fooled. About 3 or 4 attackers there.
Looks like there's a flag there, Don.
There's another flag there, and that looks like it could be another hold. It'll probably be declined. Unless it's against Muck. And it's against Waukesha South.
Penalty goes against South.
And Mr. P on the public address didn't even understand what the call was. Do you know what that is, Johnny, that signal?
I think...
looked like a cheer.
Yeah, I think it's...
Well, either way.
Frustration penalty.
Either way, Muck will take over on downs. 7:18 and counting in the game. And don't forget, more football this weekend. With the penalty, it looks like it's quite the 15-yard variety. Goes all the way to the Blackshirt 34. Clock now down to 6:53 and counting. Yes, we will be at Schneider Stadium tomorrow night. Coverage starts at 5:30, kickoff at 6. The Pioneers of Carroll University. Their home opener and season opener. Hand up the middle. Gets about 6 or 7 yards.
I think tomorrow we should have a different experience.
Different running back. Oh, yeah. Geezy on the tackle there. Different running back for Muck here. No, it's Cole Oldenburg back in the game. I'm sorry. We've seen Cole this half. 6:20 and counting here. Single receivers right. Pistol formation for Cool. Fullback under left tackle. And it's a handoff to the left up the one hole again. That D-line for Waukesha South on skates as Muck pushes it forward. And that'll move the chains. 5:58 and counting. So, Johnny, I think the Blackshirts might have only had two or three first downs the whole game.
Yeah, it's been a rough night for the Blackshirts.
Ball in the middle of the field, 24, first and 10.